Today on Brave, a special Easter Monday message from Jeff Schwarzentraub.
The message is Jesus Christ got out of the grave. The message is he'll forgive all of your sins. The message is he'll present you perfect before his Father. And the message is that he loves you unconditionally. That's the message. And when we get to Colossians chapter 3, there's four verses that start chapter 3, which are going to give us some insight into how we can experience the freedom found in Jesus Christ and the liberating power of God.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Freedom is a powerful word, and no matter where you live or what you believe, it's something we all long for. But what does true freedom really look like? How can we find it in our day-to-day lives? Well, today on Brave, Pastor Jeff explains four biblical steps we need to take to discover the true freedom that is offered us through Jesus Christ. No matter where you are in your faith or what you believe about the story of Easter, today's message carries life-changing truths. And if you've missed the first part of this lesson, go back and catch it when you can at our website, bravemedia.online. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, as we join Pastor Jeff for a message titled, Freedom.
Chapter 3, verse 1 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, as we look at that, there's a lot that we could pull out. There's a lot we could talk about. I want to talk about four things this morning. But here's point number one that you need to believe. You need to believe Jesus Christ is the authority on life because he is the one and only who has conquered death. Now, we say that Jesus rose from the dead. And on Resurrection Sunday, that's what you're supposed to teach. And many of you would say, well, Jeff, you're a pastor. That's what you're supposed to say. But think about it for a second. Anybody here ever been to a funeral? There's never been a funeral that I've gone to or attended or officiated where at some point during the service, the person that was there was restored to life. I mean, that would be an amazing event. There's only one time that that's happened in the history of the world, and it's Jesus Christ. And what the Bible tries to scream at the world is because Jesus Christ overcame death, he's the authority on life. Now, here's the next thing you're going to see. So once you believe that Jesus is the authority on life, believe this, that you should seek Jesus Christ and his kingdom values. Here's what he says. If then you've been raised with Christ, or since you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the earth. He says, if you truly have been given life by the life giver, then keep seeking the life that he gives. That's what he's saying. That's why the Bible says, if we're to seek the Lord, James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from Christ. Seek Jesus and his kingdom values. Colossians 3, set your mind on those things. Set your heart on those things. It's fixing your eyes upon Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of your faith. It's looking to him. Let me just be clear, whether you're a Christian or not, some of the reasons that you're not experiencing freedom in your life is you're looking in all the wrong places where God says, look to me. Jesus says, look to me. Some of you this morning need to look to Jesus Christ for the answers that you've been asking. Because in Christ, because he is the life, he begins the answers to all the questions that you're asking. Put your mind on things above, not things on the earth. Why? Verse 3 tells us, for you have what? Died. You have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Do you realize that when you trust in Jesus Christ, not only are you a co-heir with him and all of his riches, not only have you been raised with him, but the way that you get there is you die to yourself. You die to the things of this world. You have died. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I used to live for me. Then I heard about Jesus. I saw that he was resurrected. I believed he had died on the cross for my sins. So I died to living for me, and I became living for Jesus Christ. Christian, can I just tell you something? If you think you can experience the joy and the riches of Christ by living for yourself, you're grossly mistaken. And the reason why some people think church is boring, or they're in the wrong church, or they went to the wrong church and the church just doesn't feed me anymore and all this kind of stuff, is because you started living for yourself rather than living for God. Point three is this: if you're going to experience the liberating power of Christ, recognize that you have eternally died to the possibility of ever finding life from this life. You will never find life from this life. If you're a non-Christian, you won't. You say, well, I'm living the life, man. Yeah, you are now. Tell me where you are in 100 years. Tell me about the life you're going to live. The Bible says it's appointed unto man to die once. You're not going to die twice. You'll die once, and after that face judgment. And so you who are living for this world, what benefit is it of you to gain the entire world and in the process of gaining the world forfeit your soul? Don't tell me how great your life is. You bring anybody back that you know of that's died. You bring Steve Jobs, thank you. You bring Steve Jobs back here and set him here. You bring anybody that's died and you set him back here, they'll tell you two things that they know for sure now. One is that heaven and hell are real, and two, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. They would tell you that. Every person that dies will tell you that. So don't tell me you're living the life if you're not living it for Jesus. There is no such thing. It's temporary. And Christian, if you've trusted in Christ, but you're trying to find life somewhere else other than Christ, you'll never be satisfied. Can I just tell you something about my own life? And I'm not saying be negative or depressed. I love my life. I love my job. I love what I get to do. I'm blessed by my wife. I love her. I love our children. I enjoy my time. I'm not melancholy. I'm joyous. I enjoy everything. But why? Because I love Jesus. I would give all of that up in 2 seconds. That's why Paul says, I consider all things that I've accomplished rubbish to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. I look forward to the day that I meet him. I look forward to it. Know this, if those of you who might still be here for my funeral, if you ever come and attend, know this, it's the best day of my life. I'm not missing you. I've banked my entire eternity on the fact that I've died to the possibility of finding life from this life. Now, I'm like you. I get tempted just like you. I hear the same voices you hear that promise me if I just did this or just did that or just changed this or just changed that, that everything would be better. It's not. The truth is, joy is only found in the person and work of Jesus Christ, period. End of story. There is no other. That's why Luke 24, when the women go to the tomb, the angels say this, why do you look for the living among the dead? Why are you looking for life among somebody who's died? He is not here, he's risen. Go seek his life. I mean, there's a lot of people, even in the Christian world, that will say that Jesus is only about making your life better in the here and now. And I'll tell you this, if you follow the Lord may bless your life in great ways. You can have joy regardless of circumstances, but there is no promise to the Christian that you can avoid tribulation in this world. There's no such thing. I can't promise you if you trust in Jesus that you won't experience tragedy. I can't promise you if you trust in Jesus, you'll never get sick. I can't promise you if you trust in Jesus that your bank account will grow. I can't give you that. What I can give you is regardless of circumstances, you can have joy in your life. See, people sometimes preach the wrong Jesus. If you're just preaching that Jesus can make your life better here, here's what the Apostle Paul would say about that in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. He said, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. He was saying, if the message I'm presenting to you is just how to live your best life now with Jesus in this world, you should feel pathetically sorry for me, because that's not the message. The message is Jesus Christ got out of the grave. The message is Jesus Christ will take you from being dead and make you alive. The message is he'll forgive all of your sins. The message is he'll heal you. The message is he'll present you perfect before his Father. And the message is that he loves you unconditionally. That's the message, and that you should understand and own that. Now, why is this a big deal? Because we have died with him. For you have died. You can't live the same life you were before Jesus. Now, know this, God doesn't change your personality. I mean, what was the Apostle Paul before he got saved? He was a smart, religious zealot. What was he after he got saved? He was a smart, Christ-following zealot. What was Peter before he got saved? He was a loudmouth, obnoxious leader. What was Peter after he got saved? He was a loudmouth, sanctified leader for Christ. God's not going to change your personality. If you're introverted before you got saved, you'll probably be introverted after. If you like numbers before you got saved, you'll probably like numbers after. You know? If you're super organized before you got saved, you'll be super organized after. If you weren't organized before you got saved, I can testify you won't be organized after. Right? God doesn't change your temperament. He doesn't change your personality. What he changes is the inside, the fundamental difference about who you are. Now, Christian, get this. If you've died, you are no longer the same person you used to be. In Romans chapter 6, there's a whole chapter that spells this out. We won't go through the whole thing. But when Paul was writing to them, he was saying, you're so free and you're so liberated in Christ that because of Christ's death on the cross, the more you sin, the more grace God will give you. You can't outrun God's grace. Well, it begs the question then. Romans 6:1, well, what shall we say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace will abound all the more? Well, if God's going to forgive all my sins, then why don't I just go on a sin parade and just see, I'll prove it to God if he'll forgive me. And Paul says this, may it never be. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Paul was saying at the moment that you're converted or born again, you've been baptized, which is this idea of being immersed. I mean, think about baptism like this. If I had a pot of like purple dye and I had a white cloth and I baptized it in there, I can repeatedly dipped it until the white cloth turned purple. That's what baptism means. If I've been identified with Christ, I've been buried with him by my baptism, my identification with him into death, in order that why? The same way I died to my old self, I exchanged my life for Christ's life, I've been risen to newness of life so I might walk in different ways. That God's spirit comes in me and says, Jeff, you're different now. You don't need to sin anymore. See, some people miss this about the gospel. It's not just the penalty of sin that I'm talking about. That's a beautiful thing, that if you believe in Christ, you never have to worry about being punished. You don't have to worry about the reality that there is a hell for those who don't believe in Jesus, that God has washed all that away. But listen to this, Christian. You also have freedom and liberty over the power of sin. You don't ever need to sin again. Now you will, because you'll be tempted and you'll make bad choices, but you don't have to. The devil didn't make you do it. You chose it. You don't have to sin anymore. Why? Because I'm a new creation. I put that to death. That's not who I am. For the death he died to sin, he died once for all, but the life he lives to God. It says this in Romans 6, verse 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. If you've died with Christ, you don't need to live in sin anymore. Hey, Christian, when I was asking you those questions at the beginning, how come I still continue to sin? How come I can't continue to get over? Because you don't realize you've been raised to life. You don't realize that the same power that got Jesus Christ out of the grave is the same power over whatever thing you're struggling with. And think about it. I just wrote some down this week just that I hear all the time as a pastor. I hear about guys that struggle with pornography. I hear about girls that struggle with pornography. I hear about anger problems. I hear about anorexia. I hear about drinking and drinking too much, getting drunk. I'm not talking about drinking, drunkenness, swearing, gossip, slander, pride, rage, jealousy, fear, hurt. I mean, the list goes on and on. And here's what Christians will say many times. Well, I'm just struggling with that. You're not. You don't realize that you have the resurrection power of Christ, so you don't have to struggle with that. You're choosing to struggle with that. You're wanting to struggle with that. You say, man, Jeff, you're pinning me to the back of my seat. You're making me mad. No, no, no. It's the Holy Spirit and you saying, I'm in you. I'm the Holy Spirit. I am pure and righteous. You've been raised to new life. You don't have to participate in that stuff anymore because you're believing the lie. Well, I have to because I'm a Christian, but I know I'm going to sin until I meet Jesus. So I'm just going to. You don't have to. You've been liberated from the power of sin. You can claim that because I have a new identity in Christ, I'm not participating in that anymore. And God, I need your help to do that in my life. Jesus didn't just rise from the dead so he could save a bunch of people, leave them in their filth until he got back. He saved people so that his resurrection power through the deposit of the Holy Spirit could redeem a people for himself who lived completely for him. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. Because you can study psychology all you want. You can go to counselors and pay thousands and thousands of dollars. And you can have a bunch of people say, well, work on this and work on that and work on this and work on that. And you'll never get anywhere. How about this? Don't work on anything. Tell God, I'm tired of working on it. I'm just going to begin to claim that I'm already perfected. I'm going to begin to claim I'm a new creation. I'm going to begin to claim I'm already forgiven. I'm going to begin to claim that I'm pure of heart because of what Jesus has done for me. And Jesus, I'm asking you to make me like you see me. That's good news, isn't it? You've eternally died to the possibility of finding life in this life. And if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Now, here's what Satan does. There's only one power that he has. He lies. If the Bible were a cartoon and Satan were a superhero, his only power would be speaking, talking. And the only thing he could do is when he opens his mouth, he's gonna lie to you. So here's what he's gonna tell you. Here's his two biggest lies. The Bible says you are free from the penalty of sin, which means if you've trusted Christ, you don't have to worry about being judged for your sin anymore. That was judged at the cross. You will be presented perfectly before the Lord. The Bible also says you're free from the power of sin, so you don't need to be taken out by the power of sin anymore. Here's what Satan will tell you. You're not free from the penalty of sin. I don't even know that you're really a Christian. You're going to get judged because look at you. You're not like everybody else that goes to this church. You still sin and God doesn't love you anymore and God doesn't care about you anymore and God's really angry with you and God doesn't even like you. That's what Satan says. If you hear that voice, no, that's not the voice of God because God's voice is, while you were still a sinner, I died for you. How much more now is my love for you? And then what about the power of sin? Here's Satan's thing. Yeah, don't listen to your pastor. He's a pastor. Pastors are supposed to say that stuff. But at the end of the day, you're going to sin and you're going to sin greatly until Jesus gets back. So quit worrying about it because it's only going to frustrate you to death. You don't have any power over your sin. You're a victim. Feel sorry for yourself. Jesus says, you're not a victim. You're a victor. Because I got out of the grave, the same power is available to you and I can make you holy. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Don't make excuses. Isn't that good news? So see, Satan's only two lies are this. You're going to hell and you're no good. And what do? We believe those all the time. Now, the truth from Jesus is, if you don't believe in me, yes, you will go to hell. But it's not because I want you to go there. It's because you've chosen to live your dead life, even though I've chosen to liberate you and you've refused to come to me to have life. But make no mistake about it. There's never a time when somebody goes to hell for not believing in Jesus where God is up in heaven saying, showed them. Bible says in Ezekiel 18, God takes no delight in the death of the wicked. Every person God creates, he loves. Every person in this room, God loves. Every person in this room, God has been screaming from the time you were born, I loved you so much that even before you knew it, I came and died on the cross for your sins. Not just to free you and liberate you from the penalty of sin, but to liberate you from the power of sin. So the very thing that held you down, not only will you not be penalized for, but it will never have hold over your life anymore. It doesn't have mastery over you. You can let it go. You can be done with whatever it is. You don't have to hold on to it. Recognize you've eternally died to the possibility of ever finding life from this life. And then finally is my favorite. He says this, if Christ is really your life, he says in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, or when he is revealed, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now let me tell you something. The Bible says life is but a vapor. It's gone. It goes fast. So what's the Bible tell us? When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. The most important thing you can do is getting your life right with Christ. Why? Because it's happening quick. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. That is coming soon to a city near you. Jesus is coming back. Make no mistake about it. He's coming back to judge the living and the dead. He's coming back to judge those who have trusted in him. But what's he going to judge? He's not going to judge our sin. He's not going to punish us. What's he judging? He's judging that we've trusted in him and lived for him. It's going to be like the Olympics when they judge first, second, and third, and everybody's cheering and screaming. That's how he's going to judge the believer. How's he going to judge the unbeliever? with all of his wrath that he had stored up for sin. He was going to pour out on all of them, not because he wants to, but because why? Because he's holy and righteous and good. You say, well, how can a God be good like that? Let me tell you this. Imagine you go home today to find out the news that the most beloved person in your life has been brutally murdered and slain by somebody. And you go to the courthouse some 6 months from now, and while you're standing there, the judge is looking down at the person, and the person's like, yeah, I was just having a bad day. I did it. I totally admit it. But I don't care. I don't care about that person's life. And the judge is like, you know what? I'm just a merciful judge. You can go free. How would you feel? They just murdered the most close person to you. How would you feel? There'd be something inside of you that said, that's not right. That's not justice, right? See, here's what it would be like. It would be like a person looking down and saying, I find you guilty, and I find you guilty of death, and you deserve to die, and you are going to be sentenced to die. And then doing this, coming down, taking off the robe, coming down and standing in front and saying, you know what, but I'm going to take the punishment for you. I will die in your place. Justice has to be served. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. Make no mistake about it, he loves you. Make no mistake about it, he's coming back for you. Make no mistake about it, he wants you to be liberated in this moment. So here's my question as I end today. Have you ever trusted in Jesus Christ? Have you ever been baptized into his death and risen to new life? The Bible calls that moment in time being born again. Why? Because I went from being dead spiritually to being alive spiritually. When did that happen for you? If it hasn't, make the moment now, right where you're sitting. Say, how do I do that? Number one, admit that you're dead. Admit that you're a sinner. Two, believe Jesus Christ is the ultimate life giver and he wants to give you life. And then three, confess him as your Lord and Savior. Because whether you do it now or when you meet him face to face, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You will someday, whether you realize it or not, with all willingness and all want to, bow before Jesus and call him Lord. Now you have a time. Hey, Christian, do you realize that when you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, it wasn't just paying for the penalty, it was paying for the power, that he's alive in you, that you have power over your sin, that you no longer have to continue in sin, that you can claim the resurrection of power of God in your life and walk out of here liberated saying, I'm done with that. I'm not struggling with that anymore. You say, well, Jeff, what if I don't do that? And then I'm still seeing all these areas. I'm done counting. When I sin, I'm just going to confess it to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to quit counting that sin. I'm just trusting that you're going to heal it. I'm going to trust that you're going to make me perfect because that's who you are. That's freedom. Focus on him. Focus on him. Focus your hope on the future glory that is to come. And when Christ comes, you will see his future glory. You'll be revealed with him because people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation that have lived from the time of Christ and before, from all around the world who have placed their faith and hope in him will be dancing, singing, shouting, screaming, doing everything to the glory of God. And I can't wait for that day. How about you? Amen? Amen. Let's give it some praise.
You're listening to Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub and a special Easter message titled Freedom. If you joined us late and you'd like to catch on parts of the message you may have missed, you can do that at our website, bravemedia.online. Here at Brave, we are dedicated to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many folks as we can. It's our mission to save, mature, and multiply brave disciples of Jesus. And we're thankful for listeners like you who share this passion and join us in our efforts by supporting this radio ministry with a donation. Your financial gifts of any amount not only help us continue bringing these bold, Bible-based messages to your community, but they also empower us to reach further and share the truth of God's Word across the nation. So please, give today by clicking the Donate tab at our website. Again, that's bravemedia.online. Or call us at 360-552-7283. You can send a check in the mail. Our address is Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. That's Brave Church, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard, Englewood, Colorado, 80113. And if you're in the area, we'd love for you to visit us in person for weekend services here at Brave Church. If you're listening anywhere in the Denver metro, make plans to visit us in person this Sunday at any of our three campuses in Englewood, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. And no matter where you live, you can always join us through our live stream. For details, visit bravemedia.online, scroll to the bottom, and click the link that says Brave Church. And if you'd like to share a question or comment with Pastor Jeff, email us hello@bravechurch.co. I'm your host, Bill Carl, and tomorrow, Pastor Jeff gets back to our series called Walk Your Talk with a brand new message about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's a lesson you don't want to miss. Next time on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.